Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
So it's very nice to be here. It's different. You know, I grew up in Ireland. In 1981, Ireland was... Yeah, hold your fire there, everyone. Someone's about to be pretty sassy about Ireland. It is an interesting observation that here in particular, in New York City, people, when they find out you're Irish, love to come up and they love to do their hilarious impersonation of this accent to me. Please don't do that. Because it's always mildly offensive, borderline racist. Oh, you're Irish, but Jesus. There's a bomb in me potato, to be sure. You've no idea how monocultural the Ireland that I grew up in was. In 1982, Ireland was 96% white Catholic. That is a nightmare. It was the only country in the world where parsley was regarded as a spice. Where someone would take a mouthful of vegetable soup and be like, oh, no, 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 that is burning. Send that back. A foreigner has made that. This will give you an idea of how monocultural it was. We knew of one Protestant who lived on our road, and she was called the Protestant. And she lived in a house called the Protestant's House. And she had a gooseberry bush in her front garden. Of course she did, Protestant. When people were coming home from school, they used to pick the gooseberries and throw them out her window and go, "Yeah, Protestant!" and run off. And one day the Protestant caught one of my friends. I think she must have been on the roof and she flew down. Got his heart. And my mother found out, and my mother was furious. And I was like, "Mum, it's fine. She's Protestant." And Mum said, "David, I'm Protestant. We're pretty much a Protestant family." No! Beelzebub!
All right, that was David O'Doherty with the Protestant from John Oliver's New York stand-up show. I'm Chrissy Catholics, but I thought the Protestant bit was really funny. This is Stand Up with Chris DeStefano. Nicole Boyce, Comedy Central, Chloe. We're in the building.
How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing good. Today's International Comedians Day.
Yeah, are you going internationally?
Yes, I'm going to London, England.
Do you do different jokes for international comedian
good question.
Audiences?
Nicole W. Boyce.
Thank you so much.
The short answer is yes.
Okay.
Because...
end of episode. Great.
Yeah, because even though I should be giving the long answer because it's a podcast... what I do is different countries. So I've been to Scotland, Ireland, England, Norway.
Okay.
They watch so much American television that you'd be surprised. Like some people say, "Oh, don't make a Subway reference in Scotland." It's like they actually would understand because
Subway, the restaurant or the transportation.
They would actually. You can't make a joke about the F train, but if you talk about the New York City subway system, they are very familiar with about.
They're like, "Yeah, fuck the G. The G's the worst one."
Yeah, like that they may not know. Also, I think for me personally, I have to talk a lot slower. Because I've just inevitably, New Yorkers talk very fast.
Yeah. That's something we could probably all work on.
Oh, yeah. Even like, I remember like when I did my hour special, Size 38 Ways, Comedy Central. The first show I did, because my family was there. Uh-huh. So here's, my family was there, and I'm like, I've known now for my second hour special, like no friends and family are coming. I'm doing it in a city where it's like, I gave you guys the first one, like this is my job, like get out.
Like a destination wedding?
Because I was so in my head that like my mom is here, my dad is here, my friends are, like I didn't want anybody there. But I did in New York, I had to do it. So anyway, I went so fast, and I wound up doing like 50 minutes, like, you have to do like 60.
Yeah.
But then the second show, they were gone and I was relaxed. And then like the same material went like way longer because it was just like, so that happens a lot where it's like you can blow through your material because you're talking so fast.
Yeah.
But in the UK, it's a problem or international because they don't understand you. Like they can't understand. I know we all speak English, like obviously Ireland and England, whatever, Scotland, they all speak English, but it's a different English.
Yeah.
So you have to also do research like, hey, do you... say this word or that word.
Chris, could I make a request that you do your famous joke about being at customs and they asked for your surname.
Oh, you want me to do that joke?
Yes,
or do you
please.
Want to play it?
Do the joke.
No, do the joke.
Do the joke.
2 seconds.
Oh, 2 seconds. Yeah, I was at, they say last name is not last name in the UK. They call it surname, and uh-huh. I didn't know that. And they were like, what's your surname when I got to the UK border? And uh-huh. I was like, Sir Christopher DiStefano.
Yeah. Like surname.
Also, love I have an actual love real story that's not a joke uh-huh. that like, well, I could make it into material, but I'm just being lazy because I don't work hard enough. But
no, we said last episode, you do work
okay,
hard.
Okay, fine.
Sir Christopher DiStefano.
Sir Christopher DiStefano. Last time I went to the UK, very stupid, because I don't like lying, because my mother raised me up to be just a good-hearted Catholic boy. They asked me at the border, they uh-huh. said, UK, in Heathrow, they were like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, I have some shows. But I didn't have a visa. Mm-hmm. I had a visa. Uh-huh. Like, it just was pending. And they told me, I was so tired from the flight. And they had told me, my agent was like, hey, just say you're here for, like, you're just traveling.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the visa yet. Yeah, like, yeah. We're going to email it to you,
table.
But we technically don't have it yet. Oof. But I didn't.
Cursy,
I just
illegal
fucked
immigrant.
Up. And I said, and then she was like, well, where's your visa? And I was like, well, I'm actually not getting paid. Then I started to lie. And she was like, you need a visa. Like, mm-hmm. you're not moving until you show me a visa.
She's like, you need a visa and a better manager because you're not yeah. getting paid for these shows.
And it was 7 o'clock in the morning in London. So it was like whatever it was, 1 o'clock yeah, in the morning yeah. in L.A.
Yeah.
Where like the
No, 1 o'clock here.
1 o'clock here. So yeah. that means it was whatever it was.
Yeah, it's bad.
Every office for my agency was closed.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Including the one in London because mm-hmm. UTA, thankfully, has an office in London. Like a lot of agencies don't have that. But like, yeah. thank God they had one.
Yeah.
But anyway, 7:30 in the morning, they say, if you don't have it in an hour, we have to send you to a holding cell.
Oh, so my God.
Yeah. So, and I knew I was, I mean, I was making every call in the book, mm-hmm. calling, emailing everybody. Yeah. Nobody was answering.
That is like the worst possible time.
I was with my kid's mom, uh-huh. right, at the time.
Okay.
And she was like not helping the situation because she was like, you know what? I'm just going to get on a flight and go back home. I was like,
oh,
no,
God.
You're not going to go back home.
God.
Like, what are you talking? Like, it was just like drama. But because we were all like high anxiety. So anyway, they take me to this holding cell. And now Jasmine has no phone because her phone broke on the plane somehow. We had to get a new phone. And just is in the airport. Like, they were like, you're going to have to find her. And I was like, so I had to tell her to wait. I didn't know how long this was going to take.
Yeah.
I was like, there was like a coffee shop. I was like, just wait there. 9 hours later.
No.
9 hours it took me to get this visa. She was sitting there. Like, she was like, Chris, she was like, you don't understand. I'm talking about, like, I was 1 minute away. 1 minute away from just getting on a flight and going home. Like, 1 minute. She was like, because they had told, and the only reason why she said this, she said, hey, she was asked an agent, like, explained to him the situation. And he was like, most likely, if it's 9 hours, he was deported. And he's back in JFK, or he's on a flight back to JFK because, like, it's crazy. Yeah. We were in these holding cell, and there was another guy from the U.S. who was there with his girlfriend, and he just wanted to, like, live in the U.K., but, like, didn't have proper paperwork or whatever. And they were just – and they said if you get deported, they – agents, like border agents, walk you from the holding cell onto the flight and, like, stay on the flight until the door is closed. Mm-hmm. So, like, you cannot get off and get back in.
Is there a free flight?
It's a free flight.
Okay.
You can't go back to the UK for 6 months.
Oh, okay.
6 months, cannot go back.
Not a hot travel tip.
And then it's like fucking, you know, brutal. But anyway, I finally got in touch with these.
Yeah, how'd you get out? Yeah.
I just kept emailing. Oh, and in the holding cell, you couldn't have your phone. So I was like, to the guard, I was like, how am I have a visa. It's like pending. Like, I need to get in touch with these people. And he was like, if your phone rings, I'll knock on the window.
Mm.
So like and then it was like just randomly, like my mother calling, like, did you land safe? I'm like, I'm gonna go back. Because then my phone started to die. And I said, do you have a charger, to the UK agent? He said, I can't charge your phone. And
what?
I was like, oh my. So it was like the anxiety, like through the roof. I think by the time I got my visa, like in an email to show to them and they copied down the number, and did it, my phone was at like 3%.
That's so scary.
Yeah, and then 9 hours, I was like, I'm gonna go up there, and like, Jasmine's gonna be gone, you know, like, cause I'm like, she's even gonna be there. Crazy, like crazy.
Just the phone alone on 3% is enough to,
brutal.
Completely give up.
The That's visa the situation for performers is really interesting. Like, I've had a lot of experience getting these O-1 visas for international performers that want to perform here in the States, including David O'Doherty, who we just listened to. It takes so much, so much paperwork and so much money to get an O-1 visa to perform in the States. And you can't do anything here without one.
Without one. I know. Daniel Simonson, so funny. new to America, but I mean, will 100% like make things happen. But right now, so you know, funny. He just can't. Like, he, you know, he's there's only gigs he can do with like the local Comedy Cellar gigs. He can't headline yet because, you know, his people are like, you don't sell enough tickets. He can only, though, according to his visa, do comedy.
Uh-huh.
So he sometimes makes like $30 a week,
yeah.
But he cannot. He's willing to bartend. He wants to be here. He cannot. He'll get deported. It's true.
That's great. That's
he's
a good so way to funny. Force yourself to stay in the game and
yeah,
stay in the stand-up game.
You have
just to.
To
get a visa.
All right, I'm
you
going to London.
You want to introduce these next clips?
Yeah, so who do we got? We got Jeannie Yashere, who, hilarious British comic.
Yeah.
Good friend of mine, always at the Comedy Cellar. She's always like, hello, doll. Jeannie Yashere.
Incredible person.
Yeah.
Great person. And then John Oliver.
I've learned a lot since moving to America. What else have I learned? I've learned that your health system is crap. Yep, I've learned that. I'm from England. We have free, socialized health care in England. I get sick, I go to the hospital, I don't have to think about nothing. Yeah. I made the mistake of getting sick here in America last year, and I didn't want to go to the hospital. I ended up going, and the doctor was speaking to me, and all I'm hearing is dollars, 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 dollars. He's going, Gina, we're going to have to put you on a heart monitor. And I'm like, heart monitor? Doctor, can I take the heart monitor home? Can I do this myself, doctor? I will call you if I die. Can we do that? I spent one night in hospital. They tried to charge me $15,000. For one night in hospital, and I shared a room with an old lady who farted all night. That is not value for money, people. 15 grand for farty bitch, no. I was like, this woman is like a human machine gun. Take a picture, quick, take a picture. What else have I learned since moving to America? Oh yeah, I've learned that in America, when you guys get fat, you get really friggin' fat. Humongous. Cartoon fat, cartoon. I know why. I watch a lot of television. All your commercials are food. Every other commercial is food. Like you got this Subway $5 foot long sandwich, right? $5. This is why you guys are so fat. This is the only country in the world that measures its food in feet. Obesity is an epidemic in this country. It is. And it's now trickling down to races of people that aren't normally predisposed to it, right? The other day, you're not gonna believe this. The other day, I saw a fat Chinese kid. They do not exist outside of America. I was like, oh my God, that is a fat Chinese kid. It's humongous. I am going to die in America. Take a picture, quick, take a picture. I swear to God, if I see a fat crackhead, I'm going back to England, I swear. And thank you very much, Jeannie Yashere, good night.
But I've lived here now in this country for 4.5 years, and I love it here. And one of the things I love most about this country is that I truly believe you are a lot more eccentric a nation than you give yourselves credit for. You're much weirder than you think you are. Now, I can give you proof of this. Recently, I went to Boise, Idaho for the first and, God willing, final time. But there is something in Boise which I will never forget seeing. In the center of Boise, on the main street through it, there's this huge gray building. And on the front of the building, in gigantic yellow letters, is one word. And that word is library. And then there's an exclamation mark.
And I spent hours trying to figure out what that exclamation mark was really trying to say. Was it, oh no, I can't believe Boise's got a library either. I don't know when it got here or when it's leaving, but I think we have to learn to live with it now. Or was it library, exclamation mark, just kidding, it's a Chuck E. Cheese. Come in, get this guy some cinnamon sticks, he's had a very shocking event happen. Boise doesn't need a library. America doesn't need libraries. You don't need books here. There are plenty of books in the world and plenty of people who've read them. It's not your area of expertise. Well, there is some genuine tension in this room now. As if you're collecting, you're saying you better have a joke to undercut that premise. Relax. I'm about to give you a compliment. You don't need books. Stick to what you are truly great at, TV. No one in the world is better at making TV than you are. Do you have any idea just how good the TV show Wipeout is? Do you have any idea of what you've done? You've seen it, where members of the public jump across gigantic inflatable balls before falling and sustaining what I can only imagine is a colossal spinal injury. Wipeout is so good, you've essentially finished television. It's over now, you completed it. We have reached the kill screen of TV. And it turns out that the kill screen is a man being repeatedly slammed in the testicles by a foam-covered hydraulic hammer. Watching Wipeout, you get that calm sensation wash over you, as if you're watching a nation doing exactly what it should be doing at this point in its history. Because watching Wipeout is like watching the last days of ancient Rome. Oh, it's fun, and it looks spectacular, but deep down, you know it can't last forever. And don't get me wrong. You make great quality TV as well. I think The Wire is the greatest television show ever broadcast. Until I saw Wipeout. And now I just think it's okay. I think it's fine. It could do with a few more people falling over, that's all. And most countries would have stopped there, having finished something. They'd stop and move on and do something else. But I guess there's that special quality in Americans, that pioneering spirit which throughout history has pushed you that extra mile to achieve the incredible. So instead of stopping with Wipeout, instead, you created a show called Downfall. And the fact that no one in this room knows what Downfall is is a tragedy that I will now correct for you. Downfall was on very briefly last year, and it was a game show in the normal sense of the word. People competed to win prizes. The twist, though, the inspired twist, was that in Downfall, if you failed to win one of the prizes, that prize was then pushed from the roof of a 10-story building. Prizes like grand pianos, jet skis, pushed from the roof of a 10-story building. You did that. You did that. You did that. In fact, not only did you do it, you then didn't watch it as well. You exercised freedom in its fullest sense. Oh, I want you to make that program. Don't get me wrong. It's just I will not be tuning in. But I want to know it's there. I want to know that I can flip past it and ignore it if I want to. That is my right. Do you have any idea how powerful a message you are sending to the world when you push a jet ski? A jet ski from a 10-story building. It was taken off the air by ABC after just 5 weeks, presumably because it was just too good. We're not ready yet for anything of that quality. The human brain can't handle it without exploding. But think for a second about what we gave up. Because that was the biggest imaginable you to terrorists you could possibly issue. I promise you, when you push a jet ski from a 10-story building, what you're essentially saying is there is nothing you can do to us that we are not already doing to ourselves. Pass me another jet ski. These people don't frighten me. I frighten me. You don't know me. You don't know me. I got jet skis for days, son.
That was Gina Yashere
and John Oliver.
Cuties.
Jinx. And
Brits.
Coming up next, we got a Jimmy Carr clip.
Jimmy Carr, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So I did Just for Laughs Montreal last year and just randomly was on, I think, Jim Norton and Sam Roberts show that they did live from Montreal, and I was on with Jimmy Carr. Uh-huh. And I was wearing a stupid British band t-shirt. I forgot who it was. It was something crazy. And
One Direction.
No, it wasn't. It was, and I didn't even know that it was a band. And it's like a well-known band.
Clash?
No, it was begins with a W. It wasn't the Who.
Whitney.
Wham?
Houston.
Wham.
Really?
It was a Wham shirt.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a Wham shirt.
And I was joking.
No, it was Wham. Chloe. It was a white, all-white t-shirt with said Wham on it.
And why? Where did you get
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Let's hone in
remember.
On that detail.
But anyway, we're on the podcast, and he saw it was genuine, because like it truly was genuine. Like I was like, he said something like, I said something, and then he said one of their song titles. He's like, you know, like, blah, 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 right? And I was like,
the Jitterbug.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. And he was like, what do you mean, yeah? He was like, that was a clever, clever joke. And Jim Norton then, like, noticed what was happening. He's like, wait a second. He's like, Chris, do you not know who's on your t-shirt? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, it's two guys, and it says Wham. And then the whole crowd starts, like, laughing. Jim's like, hold on. And then Jimmy is like, wait, Jim, hold on. He's like, wait a second. You're telling me you don't know these two guys and what that band is. You just bought that t-shirt and put it on. I said, yeah. From that moment on, like every time he sees me, he's just like, Chris, sit down. We need to talk. Like he's like become like my friend now, where it's like Jimmy Carr. He's a very huge comedian in the UK. But he, because of how stupid I actually am, he's like, I want to work with you.
Oh my God.
And
I
even when I'm going
that.
Out to the UK, like he told me, he was like, hey, message me and I'll post what you need. Like, I want you to be successful in the UK.
I love that. Wow.
Last time I was in the UK, well, 10 years ago when I was in the UK, I wanted to just missed America so much, and I wanted to only eat American food, which is stupid. I'm an idiot. And I went to the same Burger King in the middle of the city there.
Oh
like every day, I'm talking about it, ate like the most Burger King you've ever eaten in your life.
The most.
When I got home, like literally like landing in JFK, go home, put on the TV, CNN, Anderson Cooper is talking about how all of London, specifically Burger King, was under investigation for using horse meat in their burgers.
I just read something that Burger King, they say they sell those vegan patties, and they were just giving people the meat patties instead of the vegan
Believe
ones.
It.
In like
this,
Brooklyn.
I have such a great relevant fun fact. So in Australia, Burger King obviously wanted to franchise and extend to Australia, but there was already just some guy who was the Burger King, and he refused to sell the name to like the Burger King Corporation.
The Burger King.
So there's Burger Kings in Australia, but they're called Hungry Jacks.
Really?
They're not
because
called Burger
a
Kings
Burger
because
King.
There are there.
Why not?
Because they have.
If I was that guy, why not take 20 million?
I don't know. But
what does Burger King get? Just yo, give
that's
me
like
30
what people
mil.
Do with like Instagram handles, where like you have an Instagram handle. That's I had a friend who had an Instagram handle, and then a magazine started that was that handle, and she sold the handle to them for like $1,000. She probably could have got
$1,000.
Like,
what the fuck is Nicole?
We
way
just
more.
Grab all the. I know she should have got a lot.
Way more.
More.
She should have gotten at least 10.
What was her handle?
At Pace Magazine, what was it?
Yeah.
Pace Magazine.
She had
as if they have $1,000.
Oh, wow. Shots at
Pace
Magazine.
Wow, Comedy Central Chloe, shots fired.
Her name is Vogue. So
if you want to sponsor Pace Magazine, we're open, available.
Should just get into the market of just taking Instagram handles.
And let's do
I
it.
Think actually people do that. That is like
yeah, that's
there's
absolutely,
a business.
That's an absolutely
yeah.
industry.
Or people like I... my other podcast, History Hyenas, it's historyhyenas.net because a fan bought historyhyenas.com.
And they won't give it to
they
you?
They want to sell it. Like, they want it. That's how they want to make money. They're like, oh, give me $1,000. We're like, we're not going to. No.
You could have got .edu.
My very
.edu.
Didn't you go to like New Zealand for like a whole summer?
Mm-hmm.
Would you suggest New Zealand or not suggest it?
Oh my God. Hard endorse.
My brother goes
better
to
than Australia?
There.
So I did like a walkabout where I was in Bali, Thailand, Australia, and New Zealand.
Whoa.
And New Zealand was probably my favorite one. Mm-hmm. I worked on an organic farm, an organic kiwi orchard.
That's the
gay.
Most.
No.
That's what I can say. Kiwis are gay.
Yeah.
You can't. Well, kiwis are also what people call people from New Zealand, so you probably shouldn't just like blanketly say kiwis are gay.
Oh, but true. We do love our gay kiwi fans.
Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month.
Happy kiwi month. So.
Yeah, but New Zealand's amazing, and also we don't have any of them in their library. But there's amazing comedy happening in New Zealand.
Oh hell yeah!
Let's shout out Guy Montgomery,
Flight of the Conchords,
Rose Matafeo, Flight of the Conchords. There's so many.
Oh my
cool
god,
people.
You're right. We should do New Zealand.
Babe, is New Zealand like? I should fucking go there.
Yeah, you should.
Everyone should go there. Go there when you have a lot of time because you can't do the whole thing in 2 weeks. There's the North Island, there's the South Island. You need to be there for literally months. It's amazing.
I'm going there soon.
I went skydiving.
Yo, really?
Mm-hmm. You're going to New Zealand?
Yeah, my brother goes to school there. So we're going to see his graduation.
That's cool. Right. You told us that.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
When my daughter, she's only 4 now, but when she's like 8,
yeah,
like I'm going to do that. Like I'm going to do that, especially
with her.
Like, just go for 3 weeks in the summer, take her to New Zealand.
So, speaking of Gail's backyard, honey, this is something that's super cool about my mom. So, she, in every June, goes to France by herself for a month.
Gail's a magical woman.
Hi, Gail.
Hey, Gail.
Oh, bonjour, Gail.
Bonjour, Gail.
I always thought France.
I always thought Gail was a funny name for a pet.
Gail.
Like, imagine, like, having, like, a dog
really
named
funny.
Gail.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, like, this is my dog, Gail. Hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Because it's, like, a good, it's, like, a strong... like human woman name. Like I met
like
a dog once.
Nancy?
Nancy. There was this Rottweiler at the dog park once. Her name was Josephine. It's a Rottweiler.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah. Like just sort of boring human names like Janet or sort of like
Hilarious.
Howard.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. My mother's dachshund's name is Larry.
That's great.
Larry.
I love that.
Not Lawrence, Larry.
We should get a podcast dog that we
Yes, like a mascot
together.
Dog or like an actual living, breathing
actual
animal.
Actual dog.
Okay, you gotta feed it.
I gotta feed it? Okay, then I don't want it.
I love animals, but I'm the kind of guy, I love animals. I really do. But yeah. I just, the thought of like having one, like owning one, I can't. I just can't right now.
My dog growing up was Jerry.
Hilarious.
That's so funny.
He was great.
Okay, well, what would our mascot be for this podcast?
What type of dog?
Just any animal. What would our mascot be for this podcast?
Well, I think we
snake?
No, we eat omelets almost every time we record. So I think probably chickens.
Just chickens.
Oh, I don't want to think about how about just an omelet.
You said probably just an omelet.
Yeah, probably.
Because you don't want to think about what goes into it.
Yeah, I don't want to think about the chicken.
What's a good animal? Penguin.
Love it.
Okay.
It's a penguin.
Yeah, because they mate for. Oh, they don't mate for life. Do you know they don't mate for life?
Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah, there's that movie about what's
March
the movie?
March of the Penguins.
March of the Penguins, and about them like mating
Happy
for
Feet?
Life.
Happy Feet. Shout out Morgan Freeman.
You know that
March
documentary,
Penguins.
Happy Feet?
Happy Feet's a great movie, mm-hmm. and it's a great lesson movie.
But
me
penguins
and my daughter
don't
it.
Make
what
for
is the
life.
Lesson?
Like to be proud of you being different.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what I told
Delilah. Yeah, because the penguins like dances.
He can only dance, and then it's like in his clan or
you're not supposed
his
to
clan.
Dance.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, bad word. In his troop.
It's about being different in his clan.
In his clan, it's Ku Klux Klan. You can't. Dance. It's They're like, not the dancing tribe.
It's like Footloose.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not the dancing tribe.
Robin Williams' tribe is the dancing tribe. Mm. And so, but then he makes it to the point. He makes it where it's like he goes back to his tribe and they accept him as a dancer.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It's really heartwarming.
Yeah, I love it.
All right.
Fucking good. Good, like, it was nice, balance today in the episode. We talked about funny stuff, real stuff. Racism,
penguins.
Anything you want to say before we end this terrific episode?
I want to tell everyone that isn't familiar with the Edinburgh Fringe Festival that they should go. It's every August in Edinburgh, Scotland. It is the biggest arts festival in the world, and it's where some of the most amazing comedy in the world takes place.
Shout out Edinburgh. Went there with my baby mama. Good memories.
Same trip?
I went
same
there
trip?
With my girlfriend.
Yeah, I went with her. I went with her to Edinburgh to my girl.
The same trip that you got detained.
Yes, same trip. We eventually got into the country. We went to London, Paris, and Edinburgh. But now it's over, and she's with a new guy. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Memories. I don't care. I got to go.
All right. Bye, Chris.
Bye.
Bye.
I had hassle getting out this evening. I had to organise a babysitter. I don't have children. I've just found they're a lot cheaper than escorts. There's pretty much nothing they won't do for $40. A little smattering of applause for that. Well done, you. When I told my mum I wanted to grow up and be a comedian, she said, "You can't do both." I'm from Great Britain, obviously. What makes Britain great is our ability to laugh at ourselves. And when I say ourselves, I mean other people. And when I say laugh, I mean invade. I met an American woman who told me she thought all English men were repressed and uptight. I was angry, I was upset. But I managed to hide it. People ask me, what were you like at school? So I tell them, I was a little black girl. There's about half of you laughing, half of you thinking, was he? I saw a homeless guy getting off the bus. I thought, well, how does he know it's his stop? I had an amazing cab driver here in New York City. A cab driver, he was smiling and whistling, clearly in a brilliant mood. He said, I love my job. I'm my own boss. Nobody tells me what to do. I said, left here. You know when you go around to a friend's house for the first time and they say to you, did you find it okay? What are you meant to say? No, I'm still lost. I saw a thing in the paper about animal rights protesters being up in arms because guinea pigs were being used in testing. I thought, well, the clue there is in the name. They're not calling them guinea pigs for nothing. That is what they're for. A little slow, but you got there, and that's the important thing. Well done. Well done, you. Creationists, the right-wing Christians, creationists believe every word Genesis says. I don't even think Phil Collins is a good drummer. What is it about being blind that makes you want to walk the dog the whole time? Surely the best thing about getting a face transplant would be turning up at the donor's funeral and going, ooh. You definitely would, come on. Does anyone here know what you're meant to do if you're stung by a jellyfish? Does anyone know? Pee on it is exactly the right answer. Yes, if you get stung by a jellyfish, you're meant to pee on it. I didn't know this. I went on vacation and everyone told me, if you get stung by a jellyfish, you're meant to pee on it. Well, I'll tell you this much. It doesn't work as well on shark bites. The boy's family were livid. Apparently, once they've been dead a couple of hours, there is very little you can do. No. A boy genuinely died just to make that joke funny. Don't cry, it's just a joke. Although it was a joke about pissing on a dead boy, so don't, you know. Maybe cry a little bit, but don't get carried away. If you were offended by that, good luck with the next one. Do you know what you're meant to do if you're attacked by a bear? You're meant to play dead. It's exactly the right... If you get attacked by a bear, you're meant to play dead. Do you know why you're meant to play dead? It's to get you used to how you're going to be in a minute. Do you know what you're meant to do if you're attacked by a bear? Piss on a bear. You think you should piss on a bear if it attacks you? You're like a walking advert for natural selection. If a bear's coming at you, sir, and you whip it out, Mr. Bear is just gonna think, ooh, an hors d'oeuvre. Delicious. My favorite story of the last year concerned a student. He was walking home late one night, he was drunk. This is his crime. He called a police horse gay. He saw a police officer on the back of a horse. He looked at the horse, he went, gay, your horse is gay. Now, if ever there was a victimless crime, surely that's it. Calling a police horse gay. For a start, there's nothing the matter with being gay. Secondly, it's a horse it can't understand. Thirdly, even if by some miracle it could understand, I think a horse would be fairly, you know, okay with being called gay. Because I think a horse would be fairly sexually self-confident. For a start, it's hung like itself. But the police officer didn't let it go. Oh, no. He got off the horse and he arrested the young man. He fined him $100 for calling a police horse gay. I wish I'd been his lawyer. I would have got him off. Because in his defense, the horse was standing naked on all fours in the middle of the street. With a uniformed man on his back, that is quite gay.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.